May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 383. Wherewith shall we approach the Lord and bow before his throne by trusting in his faithful word and pleading Christ alone. Hymn 383.
Let us read together for our instruction from a few verses from the 49th chapter of Genesis, and then read in Psalm 80. The book of Genesis, chapter 49, And we will commence to read at verse 22 and read to the end of verse 26. Genesis chapter 49, verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. The archers have sorely grieved him and shot at him and hated him. But his bow abode in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. Even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast, and of the womb. The blessings of thy father have prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of the head of him that was separate from his brethren. We will now turn to Psalm 80, Psalm 80. The 80th Psalm. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which by thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. The Lord bless the reading of his holy word, and help us to pray. Gracious and ever merciful Lord God, as we seek to come before thee, so quicken us, we pray, with that spirit of life and power, that as Jacob wrestled with the man to the break of day, so may we in these few moments wrestle with thee, desiring and seeking that thou mayest graciously condescend and be evidenced in our midst, and that we may know that sacred presence, each one being brought to humble themselves under thy mighty hand at the footstool of grace, confessing the many sins which are found in the heart. There may be the sins of which we have committed during the course of the day, and those, Lord, may we confess, though perhaps not seen by others, but realized by ourselves, perhaps not considered as sinful by some, yet we have been convinced through the spirit of our waywardness. But Lord, it is those secret sins that we need to be delivered from, and Lord, we need those purged. Oh, may the Spirit lead us to see by faith the sacred wounds that were brought about through our sin, the wounds that wounded thee, oh, that we may know that it was for us that he should be wounded, wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. Lord, we pray that the precious blood that flows forth may indeed cleanse us from all sin, and that precious blood we would plead, and we would desire, Lord, that we may find in it the virtue and power to enable us to come to that mercy seat, that blood-sprinkled mercy seat, and there to find access through the name of the beloved Son. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We do, Lord, pray that we might therefore seek to ever acknowledge that there is salvation in none other than in our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, whom he sent into the world, who came with such willingness to lay down his life, and had power, authority to do so, and also to take it again, that he might rise and break the bands of death which would hold us forever. But he being raised, so there is that hope of the day that will come when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which remain may be caught up with them in the air to be ever with the Lord. Oh, we pray then that may be our a blessed hope, that we may fix our single eye upon that day. For we see many things that surround us which grieve. They must grieve thee if they grieve our heart when we are in a right frame. When, O Lord, we are brought to desire the things of God, then those are things which are indulged in by many. Oh, we are thankful if we've been delivered from continuing in those things that we once did. But we still carry about a body of death. We still prove, O Lord, that the good that we would, we do not. The evil that we would not, that we do. And who can deliver us but thou? Oh, may it be, Lord, that thou dost come with all thy attraction, the blessedness of him whose, though his visage was so marred, yet it shows an entering into the sufferings of the people, and to go to the end of that which would bring then perfect redemption and healing and restoration unto all of thy wayward ones. And Lord, it is our mercy that thou didst come to save that which was lost. Oh Lord, we would return, seek thy servant who has gone astray like a lost sheep. But Lord, may we prove that thou art ever watchful, and that thy omniscient eye does spy out us in our wanderings, and then bring us again. Bring us, Lord, to live near where the shepherd's tents are set up, where the shepherd seeks to gather the sheep and to be gathered together as families, and we read that he gathereth them in families and leadeth them as a flock. Oh, then, Lord, do grant that we may feel that a sweet union with each other in the Lord, and, Lord, not to be as those that cause division, dissension. Oh, Lord, where that might have happened, and we're all guilty, may we be given a true spirit of repentance and godly sorrow. May we leave, as it were, our gift at the altar and be reconciled to our brother, our sister, our friend, whoever it may be. Lord, though we may sometimes have our differences, yet may it be that we ever hold to that sweet and blessed friendship that we have through our great friend and brother, who is able to unite us in the love which he sheds. Constrained by that precious blood, so may we run in the way of righteousness, and may we walk together in peace. We pray that thou wilt grant, Lord, help now those that are gathered here. Some, Lord, may be listening in because they are not able to gather. Some perhaps from other places up and down the land. We do not know what the unseen congregation may be. If there are any, But Lord, we would pray that they may not have come to listen in vain, and those that are now gathered, that they may not have come either, but to find that there are a few crumbs that fall from the Master's table, and to be satisfied with such. Indeed, Lord, one crumb that comes from Thee, one word that is spoken into the soul, one sentence that may convey the sweet odours of heaven itself, will be eternal blessings. We do pray that there will grant help, Lord, in hearing. Oh, how we need, Lord, our ear, as it were, to be bored to the doorposts of thine house, and to find that our heart so is found to fall in the place where the heavenly Boaz is, to gather a few sheaves, and yet to beat out such an amount as may supply our need for the present, and then that we may ask for more. Lord, we will be thankful for those blessings which thou dost give. We sometimes feel they are rare and few, but more frequent let thy visits be, or let them longer last. We can do nothing without thee. O Lord, our God, make haste. Do, Lord, then come to us. Come to those that have been robbed and stripped. Those, Lord, that feel that they are in the field there in their blood. Pass by and say, live. Take them, Lord, up upon the beast, as it were, to bring them to the place where they may find they obtain care. And Lord, what a blessing it is that the one of the house is no less than the one of whom it is said he careth for you. Lord, we pray that thou wilt grant help in the ministering of the word. May it not be in word only, but in power and in demonstration of the Spirit. Thou knowest, O Lord, thy servant is but an earthen vessel. And Lord, we may try to gather in coming, and yet so often we find that when we seek to stand, it seems so empty that thou, Lord, canst fill. Thou knowest, Lord, with the increasing age, memory, that once we relied on much, perhaps too much, yet now, Lord, we have to wait for the word. We do pray that thou wilt grant thy mercies unto those that are laid aside. We may not know of them, but thou knowest them. We do bear them before thee and pray for thy healing hand. We would pray, Lord, for those that are away for rest and change. Be with them, and may they be refreshed in body, mind, and spirit when they return. Do, Lord, grant also thy mercies and comforts to those in bereavement. Walk in the path of sorrow. And, Lord, we may pray for those particularly that have so recently felt a loss. But let us not forget the widows, the widowers that have the anniversaries come round when it was the day of their dear one's death, or perhaps with the children, their parents' death, and still they feel that sorrow, that mourning, not because they would desire to be selfish, but rather because of those memories, and perhaps because they feel much the loneliness, and still that does not go away, but come at times, and do, Lord, abide with them. Oh, what a mercy it is, if though we feel utterly distressed and bereft, those the disciples that walked the Emmaus road not only had lost what may have been to them a friend, a real friend indeed, but also the one in whom they trusted salvation would come. And now, what of all that was spoken and done? And yet, Lord, thou didst draw near and speak of thyself, and then didst reveal thyself when they constrained thee to abide with them. Abide with us, O Lord. Leave us not, neither forsake, but come with all thy comforts. So we needed each, but particularly those in their bereavements. And now, Lord, we would also pray for the children, the young, the rising race. What a world they are growing up into. Much godlessness is seen on every hand. Arguments put forth that would soon draw them away, but for thy keeping power. Lord, we realize the influences are very strong, but Lord, do strengthen them in their inner man, and by that work of grace be known and felt at an early age, and may they seek to live according to the word that has been set before them. And Lord, may they desire that their way may be prospered as thou seest fit and best. And Lord, may they see that there are those things, those ways opened up for them, and not what they have perhaps been able to obtain by their own efforts, though they may have put all that they could into their lessons and their learning. But Lord, it is thy goodness to provide. Oh, that they may know the God that their fathers and mothers may have known back down through the course of time, and that they may plead with the God of their fathers, as Jacob did, and as many others did, that they were on good ground if Abraham, the God of Abraham, was their God, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. So we may go down the long list of those who had thee as a God and as a Saviour, and one who did redeem. So may they know the work of redemption. May they rejoice in it when it's preached. May they be given understanding of those things, and may they be comforted in their times of trial and trouble, and the sickness, and all those things which may enter into their lives. We do, Lord, pray that there would also be mindful of parents, give them wisdom in the bringing up of their children. And Lord, may they also find that, that thou dost give them the wisdom to deal with the matters that they know not how to deal with them, where to begin perhaps in some situations. But Lord, we pray that they may be able to give a right answer, a soft answer that turneth away wrath. Now we would also bear before thee our churches. Lord, we are menaced, we are brought low, and how we have proved that, that there are few that are gathered in the varying places. Many doors of our chapels have been closed. We find it grievous. But Lord, we need thee to come again and pour out thy Spirit. Oh, revive us again. Oh, Lord, we pray. And restore that which the palmer worm and the caterpillar and locust has eaten, and that we might see again a little reviving in this our day. We do, Lord, pray that there would be mindful also of our land, our nation, how we have turned away from thee. And those, Lord, that rule over us, we pray that they may be given wisdom. And yet so many times we have seen those of our leaders, our parliamentarians, voting for things which are contrary to thy word, contrary to nature, contrary to wisdom. Oh, we pray that there would appear, raise up such who will be leaders amongst us. Have mercy upon our King. Lord, he needs much help. And oh, what help is it that he requires? He needs, Lord, the knowledge of what he is by nature, that he may then look to thee for mercy and to humble himself at thy footstool. Lord, what a difficult place to be in these solemn days, to rule rightly through the Parliament. And yet, Lord, we know that there are so many pressures, and often the monarch cannot do as he may desire in right things, though he may be able to do anything that is wrong in thy sight, but right in the eyes of the people. Oh, save us, we pray. Do, Lord, now hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place, and pardon us of every sin. We ask it in and through the worthy name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us now sing hymn number 967. 967. God of my life, to thee I call. Afflicted at thy feet I fall. When the great water floods prevail, leave not my trembling heart to fail. Hymn 967.
As the Lord may be pleased to help me, I will direct your attention to Psalm 80, the 80th Psalm, and the first verse. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Psalm 80 and the first verse. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Amongst the psalms, we find there are various kinds. There are psalms of prayer, psalms of praise, psalms that may be instructive to us, and so they may constitute the worship of the people of God. And sometimes we may find in a single psalm those three things there discovered, perhaps beginning with prayer, ending with praise. Others beginning with praise and then ending with prayer. But this is the life, the an experience of the child of God. Though there are times when we may mourn the lack of prayer, yet we cannot go long without it. It may be the upward glancing of the eye. It may be the sigh, the groan. It may be that we can utter the words that may suit and we feel are suitable to be spoken unto him who bows down his ear to hear. Sometimes our case may seem to be urgent, and sometimes we feel lame, but the Lord knows our condition. And when we may feel that we are weak and helpless, 'tis then that he puts the strength into our heart, into our soul, and enables us to have power with him. But what then is wrestling prayer? Well, seek to wrestle in your own strength, and you may fail. But wrestle in the strength that he gives when he has weakened you in all that you may hope to be, and then you find answers to your prayers. But now, as we come to this Psalm 80, we would seek to point out one or two things. In the first place, we would draw your attention to the fact that there is this imploring of the psalmist, give ear, as though he desires to awaken his God and to bring him to that attention. Not because he thinks that God will not hear and not listen, though there may be times like one who said, I cry and shout, and all my cry he shutteth out. Then from such a feeling, the cry may be, give ear, O Lord. Perhaps we felt him to be silent to us through many a day, and oh, that he would yet hear. So again, our soul may pray in this seeming demanding way. But the Lord does not belittle it. He knows what our great need is. But he will also cause us to come to this so that the urgency of our requirement is to be evidenced, and he then will come. How urgent must have been the words of the sisters there at Bethany when their brother Lazarus was sick, to implore that he would come, and yet he tarried. He tarried, though, for the glory of God. He tarried because he knew that he could show unto them something which far excelled what may have otherwise been about just a comfort, I say a mere comfort, get me right. Any word of comfort from him is life-giving, is resurrecting. Oh, but oh, to feel that voice that can raise us even from the bowels of darkness and bring us into the glorious light. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. We find it of interest that Joseph's name was to be mentioned, and his offspring in the second verse, Ephraim and Manasseh, along with Benjamin, who was the true brother of Joseph. So this part of Jacob's offspring were to be named here. And as you read this psalm and compare it with the blessing that Jacob gave to Joseph, you will find there are things mentioned in that blessing which are also drawn out in this psalm. But we shall not go particularly through it, but just to point out one or two things. First of all, we find that Jacob speaks of Joseph as a fruitful bough. It would seem that this was so here, but now brought into desolation, now brought into that condition where they were ravaged by the enemies, the beasts, hedges broken down. But what had it been? Their preparedest room for it. What was this? The plant, the vine that had come out of Egypt. You'll remember that Joseph went down into Egypt. He went down into Egypt being sold there in Egypt. And there he was raised up to provide for the people in the day of famine. And that these should then be brought to him who had been unfaithful brethren, but now they had to bow the knee to the one whom they hated. But soon they were to receive from him the blessings that were to be provided for from the land. And there in the land of Goshen, Jacob and his sons and families were provided for. But we find that here this vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Its branches, or rather its boughs, were like the goodly cedars, and it sent out her boughs unto the sea, her branches unto the river. There was unto the river. Such was her condition in the day of prosperity. We have come in a moment to the day of adversity. But we then read on, and Joseph was grieved and shot at and hated by the archers, but his bow abode in strength, and his arms and his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From thence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, the shepherd who would provide and look after the sheep. And so Joseph, in a sense, did that. And the stone was the very foundation of their salvation. For without such a one who could gather in the days of plenty the corn and lay it up for the day of famine, they would have perished and died. And indeed, sin brings the day of famine, but the day of grace has made provision for us in all that which we may prove to be of an emptier nature. But then it is he that can supply and fill us, both providentially and spiritually. But now we just go on with this, where it says that Joseph will be blessed, even by the God of thy father, who shall help thee, and by the Almighty, who shall bless thee with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth under, blessings of the breast and of the wombs, blessings of thy father that had prevailed, the blessings of thy father had prevailed above the blessings of my progenitors unto the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. Well, I just draw your attention to that and compare it with this psalm. But now, in this state of great need, was it conceivable that God would hear? Again, we return to the manner of these words. Give ear. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. If thou dost not give ear, then we must perish. If thou dost not give ear and turn us again, then we shall be lost. But give ear, thou, O shepherd of Israel. Turn us again, O God, cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. But then he goes on to say, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? The prayer of thy people. That's how it seems, though, with the psalmist here, that their prayers, or as we've already said, they seem to get hardly higher than the ceiling, let alone to enter into heaven itself. And yet there's still regard. Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them the tears to drink in great measure. It reminds me of a hymn which speaks of the lot of the people of God. And must it, Lord, be so? And must thy children bear such various kinds of woe, such soul-perplexing fear? Are these the blessings we expect? Is this the lot of God's elect? Well, so the psalmist speaks in very similar language. Thou makest us strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Thou preparest, why hast thou broken down her hedges, so that all they that pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. No wonder there was this cry for return. Oh, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. Well, the psalmist here, he may indeed be including himself, but his great concern is for Israel. And so he calls upon the shepherd of Israel. His great concern particularly regards the Lord's people, and that they may be delivered from their present situation and restored. How many times we read of restoration in the scripture? Revive us again was the cry of the prophet Habakkuk in that third chapter. O Lord, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known. In wrath, remember mercy. And yet the wrath of God against, as it may seem, against his people, is not so just in anger, but rather in that covenant love, that which will constrain and bring us again to our knees to cry for this reviving. Well, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. I want us to consider the very character and office of this one to whom the psalmist cries, the one whom he has identified in not only his person, but also in his very office. A shepherd. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. He is the God of Israel, the one who led them out of Egypt, the one who brought them into the land flowing with milk and honey. And he was the one that will so lead his people along. And again, we have that prayer, if I remember right, in the 107th Psalm, or at least exhortation of it, rather the instruction of it, where he says this, He turneth the wilderness. Now let me read a bit before. It is concerning the reviving, where he says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exhort him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water. Now we see how he brings about the change for the good of his, for his faithful ones. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruit of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffer not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are ministered and brought low, and through oppression, affliction, and sorrow, he poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. This is the ground, the very basis of the cry of the psalmist here. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Well, first of all then, they have a leader. And the leader is God himself, found in the person of the dear Son of God, the one who took flesh and made like unto his brethren, the one who condescended to walk in the path that his dear people had to walk, that he might redeem them from and out of those situations into which they had sunk, sometimes through their own folly, their own sinfulness, sometimes because of oppression, and those that oppressed them and could cast them down and bring them into the depths. And there they cried out of those depths. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee. And perhaps for a time they could see no deliverance. They could no deliverance see. But the Lord did not leave them. He did give ear to their cry. And he listened to them. He had been as a shepherd. Had he now vacated his place, his position, would he not yet lead them again? The children of Israel, they had been taken into captivity. And there in Babylon, they hung their harps upon the willows. They could not sing the songs of Zion, until the Lord brought about a way, a deliverance. Cyrus was raised up, and Darius and others to bring the liberty to the people of God, that they should return and build again the city and the house of God, the temple. So in this state of a desolation, they were soon to experience the days of blessing. And as this psalm says or pleads, let thy hand be upon the hand of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will we not go back. So will not we go back from thee, quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Sheep, you know, they're prone to wander. We sometimes sing it, don't we? Prone to leave the God we love. But the hymn writer knew well the secret of return and of continuing to cleave to the shepherd's paths. Take my heart, Lord, take and seal it in thy courts above. But now give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. The psalmist knew his need. The church knows her need. The people of God know their need. And do we know our need? There are divisions. There are troubles. There are iniquities. There are those that would try to poison us with the modern day conceptions, philosophies, ideologies. But let all those be scattered to the wind. Let us be brought to seek this one thing that is pleaded here, shine forth. But before coming to that, and I must hasten on, let us then, having considered the shepherd of Israel and he who leads us forth and brings us that comfort through rod and staff and lays a table and sets a table before us even in the midst of our enemies, that they that have provoked us can do so no longer. The cry is heard, deliverance is brought. And oh, how amazing it is. We have prayed that before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stirred up thy strength and come and save us. Salvation is the only hope. And who is able to save? I looked and there was no man. Therefore my right arm brought salvation unto me. Yes, it is his people. Bereft of his people, he cannot be. He must redeem them. He must gather them in his arms. He must lead them forth. He must bless them with the blessings which he has prepared for them. What blessings are those? Well, it's seen all in the what he condescended to do. My dear friends, when the prodigal returned, the fatted calf was killed. When our Lord and Saviour would come and heal his people, he laid down his life that he might be that ransom for many, but also that they might be fed with the meat which alone can nourish and satisfy the princes. I say princes, listen. He raises up the beggar from the dunghill and sets him among princes. A few beggars here, soon to be partakers of the blessing of that fatted calf, which we may rejoice in and be a partaker of, but we may consider it in another way, to be a partaker of the bread which cometh down from heaven. The one who is the bread. I am the bread. And to be partakers of him. That will be then our salvation. As we may find that we live through Christ and therefore live by him and upon him, that he might be our very meat and drink. He is the Word. It is by the Word that we live. The written and the incarnate Word, as the hymn writer puts it, in all things are the same. Are you nourished by the Word, by the promises, by the precepts, the instruction that is set before you in the Word? Is this what strengthens you in your hope also nourishes and maintains that faith? And often we have to cry, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But this good shepherd of the sheep will lay down his life that he might raise us up again. But let me just now pass on. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. It was there between the cherubims that were part of the mercy seat, which was the lid, as it were, of the Ark of the Covenant, that which was put into the holiest place, and there visited once in a year by the high priest, who entered there with not without blood, nor without the censer, which bore the very prayers of him who can intercede for us and make a way through that covenant purpose and will. He that has now for us entered. But this place was very precious, because the one that dwelt between the cherubims made himself known. It evidenced presence, his presence. That's what we need, isn't it? His presence. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims. Would bring down all of the hoped-for blessings. But we read in the epistle that the angels desire to look into those things. The cherubims had their faces looking downward. It was there into the mystery of that which was hidden that all the glory would shine. What was indeed to be found there in the ark? Well, there was, first of all, the two stones on which the law was written. The law, as it may be held up before the people outside of that ark, set forth a precedent that they could not obtain to. Who can keep those commandments? And yet, without the keeping of them, we shall know that we're condemned by and under them. They must be kept, but now found in that ark, and the one who would presence himself above that mercy seat would give a sweet access for a poor coming sinner who may plead his own sin and iniquity, but believe this, that that which is written at that time upon stone but hidden will be found hidden in the fleshy tables of the heart, where now the Holy Spirit writes those things which gives us then the desire that we may be found in them. We have no power of ourselves to live it out, but he who is our law keeper as well as our law giver is the one that has fulfilled those things. But what else was found there in the ark? The rod that budded, Aaron's rod, his priestly work, which is now made apparent. He that laid down his life, there is the offering. The one who gave it is the priest, the high priest. He gave and offered the offering so that it would be acceptable unto God, unto the Father, unto himself. You may say, that seems rather strange. Listen, he shall look upon the travail of his soul and be satisfied. The Father was well satisfied with all that his Son had done, his dear beloved Son. And this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. And hear now that he who travailed for us is now well satisfied, having accomplished what was needful to go to the end of the law for righteousness and to rise and break the bands of death and of sin and of the grave. And that now not one of his can be held beyond the moment that has been ordained. The day is coming when he will come again to gather his own unto himself. And those many mortal remains that have been laid in the grave shall be raised to immortality and incorruption. Well, what a prospect. But give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims. And there we must come. We come to the mercy seat. Ah, what a blessed place it is. There is a hope at the mercy seat. There is a forgiveness to be known at the mercy seat. There is the promise of a reception and acceptance there at the mercy seat. Every poor sinner that comes pleading mercy for Jesus' sake will prove that he is accepted. How should he know? Through the answers the Lord gives. The answers that God gives may far outweigh our expectation. He is a God that blesses with blessings. Blessings that are immeasurable. Blessings that are full, rich and free. Well, one of the greatest blessings, perhaps the greatest, was that he shed that precious blood, that purple tide, which would wash away and Mary's or Manasseh's sins, and sins more vile than they. So, between the cherubims. Well, as we have, first of all, the earnest cry, give ear. Now we have the petition itself, shine forth. How dark the psalmist must have felt, how dark the church must feel at times when she fears her beloved has left her. And she there is left in the season of night. And yet there she wrestles and, or is restless, should we say, upon her bed and cannot give herself sleep. She rises to go about the city, asking the question, seest thou him whom my soul loveth? Rebuked by the watchman, she may well be rebuked. And we must sometimes realise that rebukes are not meant altogether in anger, though those that give the rebuke may not perhaps know how best to handle it. But the one that is over all things ensures that whatever it may seem to be, we may feel it harsh, but if it brings us to realise and know that those things are not meant in anger, but meant in love. No chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, it bringeth forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. When the Lord shines, shine, gracious God, and then we can see, and then we can understand that all the shining that comes forth from the sanctuary itself, the word may shine through the word of the ministry, through the word itself that is read. But oh, to find that here the Lord begins to shine once more. He rises like the rising sun, with healing in his wings. And this is the knowledge that a poor, depressed, and destitute people or church feels. And so we take these words, shine forth, and look at them in the third verse and in two other places in this psalm, the seventh verse and the last verse. Turn us again, O Lord, and cause thy face to shine. The face to shine. Now he looks upon us with pity. Now he looks upon us with that love which is so revealed to us. Now we feel that all of which has brought a separation has now united us. Now we find that we can come freely into his presence again. I will close with the words that were spoken through Hosea unto Israel. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, say unto him, take away all iniquity, and receive us graciously, so will we render the cause of our lips. And now there's a confession. Asher shall not save us. Yet they turn to the gods of Asher. They turn to the ways of the world and its things that were looked upon as being so needful. Much of what we call needful will have to be cast away, and it's better that we cast it away before we come to the point where it is removed out of our way. But oh, to be given the grace. We need the grace to do it. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses upon which they depended for victory. Neither will any where we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. In these the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their sickness, their backslidings. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from me. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Restoration. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The scent thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. So we prove the Lord's faithfulness and that he has heard. Yes, that God is God. I can avouch and for his people cares. For I have prayed to him as such, and he has heard my prayers. This prayer of the psalmist here of Asaph was not unheard, but received the desires and the comforts of those things which were expressed and felt in the very heart of the psalmist. May we prove the Lord's faithfulness also. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Chapman is expected to preach next Lord's Day and Mr. Timothy Parish next Tuesday evening. And there's a collection today for the free Bibles. Let us close with hymn 574. What a precious, needful thing is the Lord and Saviour. Zion shall his mercy sing, now, henceforth, and ever. In him a rich fullness dwells and is freely given. Law and conscience Jesus quells, crooked things makes even. Hymn 574.
May the grace of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us evermore. Amen.